Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 52. Today is Sunday, March the 30th, 2025. We're going to begin in Isaiah 52. I think most of you are familiar with this book, and I don't know of a better biblical research concerning the last week of our Lord Jesus Christ's life than Jesus Christ, our Passover. It's filled with lots of great detail, and just it's wonderful. If you haven't looked at that in a while, good time of year to peruse some of it or even all of it. Next Sunday, we're going to look at some of the scriptures showing the price that Jesus Christ paid for you and me. But this morning, we're going to consider that Jesus Christ knew the price he would pay for you and me. And we're going to start in Isaiah 52, reading prophecy concerning the coming Savior, the coming Redeemer. And Isaiah 52, verse 14 is probably familiar. Isaiah 52, verse 14, as many were astonied at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. The English Standard Version has it this way, as many were astonished at you, the appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. And one more from the Revised Standard. As many were astonished at him, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the sons of men. Our Lord Jesus Christ knew the scriptures, especially those scriptures that pertain to the Redeemer. And let's continue here in Isaiah and go to chapter 53 and in verse 3. Isaiah 53, verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Isn't that interesting? Twice despised. And we know from reading the Gospels that the religious leaders hated him. He was despised. Verse 4, surely he hath borne our griefs. And that's better translated, sicknesses. Surely he hath borne our sicknesses and carried our sorrows. Sorrows is better translated as pains. That's mental and physical. He carried our pains. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And I'm sure you remember in 1 Peter, this is looking forward to what the Redeemer would do. In 1 Peter, where it says, by his stripes we were healed. Past tense, accomplished. You know, that verse says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live under righteousness, by his stripes we were healed. We go on to verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. That comes up a few times in this chapter 53 of Isaiah. The iniquity, the sins that he was paying the price for. And I think you're familiar with 1 John 2 that says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he's the propitiation, the payment for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins, what? Of the whole world. He was bearing the sins of the whole world. And verse 6 said, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know, sometimes people, why did he have to die? I mean, I'm not a bad person. I don't really do anything wrong. I haven't stole anything from anybody. I haven't killed anybody. I haven't done. The iniquity, the sin, transgressions, whatever you want to call it, is according to God's standard, not mine, not yours. There's no law in the United States that if you, call somebody a jackass, you know, if you're very unloving to someone, there's no law where you get arrested. What was he arrested for? Well, he was very unloving to somebody. There's no law. But what about in God's law? God had his son to pay the price for all iniquity of all mankind. It's just amazing. Verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. We'll see some word pictures here now. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. Well, there's a picture for us, huh? And as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. You know what that means, right? He died. He was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And there it is again. It's the payment for all sins. Verse 9? And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. You know, he was crucified with evildoers, but then the grave he went into, the rich, referring to Joseph of Arimathea, who provided that for him. Verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. It was the full, complete payment. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. Isn't that awesome? That justification, which we read in the New Testament, we've been justified, we've been made righteous. And in the New Testament, that justify and righteous all come from the same word, meaning to be right according to a legal standard, and the legal standard is God's legal standard. And because he paid the price, we all get justified. And doesn't it say in the book of Romans, justified freely by his grace through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't this amazing? This is prophecy of what was going to take place. And the reason that it says, my righteous servant justify many, why? Because he's going to bear all the iniquities. Verse 12, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Jesus Christ knew the scriptures, right? I mean, he quoted them many times as you read the Gospels, right? Remember on the road to Emmaus? He took them through the whole Old Testament, every verse pertaining to him. He knew these verses in Isaiah and others. He knew they were talking about him. And that's what I kind of want to focus on this morning, that he knew. He knew. And shortly before the Last Supper, let's go to Matthew chapter 26. Shortly before the Last Supper, Matthew 26. Verse 1. And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these things, he said unto his disciples, you know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. He knew what was coming. He knew he was going to be betrayed. He knew he was going to die as the complete substitute and payment for all sins. He knew his body was going to be beaten so badly it wouldn't be recognizable. And then he also knew what kind of death he was going to have to endure. Crucifixion. Brutal. Savage. I did this years ago. I went online and looked up Roman crucifixion, first century. It's hard to even read it. It's so brutal. They were masters at torture. So he knew what was coming. And then at the Last Supper, let's go down to verse 21, if you would. And as they did eat, he said, verily, I say unto you, we're in Matthew 26, verse 21. And as they did eat, he said, verily, I say unto you, one of you shall betray me. Earlier he said, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed and crucified. Now he's there with them saying, one of you is going to betray me. Now we find out he knew who. Verse 22, and they were exceeding sorrowful. This kind of blew their minds. And began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth, look at this, as it is written. I'm going to do what was written about me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then, look at this next verse. Then Judas, who betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? Isn't that interesting that he asked that question? So Jesus had just said, one of you is going to betray me. I wonder if Judas was like, does he know it's me? Is it I? Is it me? He said unto him, thou hast said. You said it. So he not only knew he would be betrayed, but he knew who the betrayer would be. One of the 12. My goodness. And from other gospel records, which I'm sure you're familiar with, Jesus Christ gave Judas the sop. And according to the biblical culture, you know, they had a common dish, then you would take some of the bread, you would dip it in the common dish and eat. But if you were to dip that in and then give it to someone, you were showing great love and respect. What love Jesus Christ had. I mean, if it was me, I would have said, when we all sat down, I'd have looked at Judas and said, get the hell out of here. Amen. You traitor. What love. What love. And during that meal, shortly before he was arrested, knowing what was coming, Jesus Christ took the time to teach them many, many things. He taught them about service. Remember, he washed their feet? And then he said, do you know what I just did for you? If I, your Lord and Master, washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. And he wasn't talking about literally washing feet. You know, that was kind of a lowly job for a servant to do when somebody came to the house, take off their sandals and wash their stinky feet for them, and then they can come in. But the point was, it didn't matter what kind of service, just serve one another. He taught them about the hope. He taught them about believing. Love one another came up several times. By this shall all men know you're my disciples, by the love you have one for another. So then why aren't Christians more loving to each other instead of being critical? Just love one another. Taught him about prayer. Remember, he told him to pray. He said, don't pray to me, pray to the Father. The Father himself loves you because you love me. Ask the Father in my name. He told them other things like don't be afraid, don't be shocked by persecution. And of course, one of the big topics was the coming of Holy Spirit. The Comforter will come. And then also he instituted that memorial of communing with the bread and the wine. He did all of this, took all of this time knowing that it's about time for him to go through what he knew he was going to have to go through. So what great love our Savior had. Let's go down to verse 36 now, if you would. Verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto his disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. So they all went out there together, and he said, look, I'm going to go yonder and pray. Just sit here. And then Peter, James, John, come with me. Sons of Zebedee. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. I guess so, wouldn't you? Then saith he unto them, the three, Peter, James, and John, my soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. In verse 39, and he went a little further and fell on his face. And prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. He knew what was coming. Father, if there's any other way, nevertheless, not as I will, but you will. Verse 40. He cometh unto the disciples, that'd be the three, and found them asleep. At this crucial time, I'm going to go here and pray. You guys wait here. Peter, James, John, you come with me. And then he told him, my soul's exceeding sorrowful even unto death. Watch and pray with me, will you? Then he goes farther and prays and comes back snoring. Oh, finds them asleep. And he said unto Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, your will be done. There's another, one of the other Gospels talks about how God sent an angel to comfort him. This was a tough time. Verse 43, he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And this time he didn't say, can't you? He just left them. He went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. So again, he knew what he was going to have to go through. One of the most brutal and shameful ways to die. And you know what's interesting is, Scripture doesn't specifically tell us that Jesus Christ ever physically saw someone crucified. It's likely that he did. According to Josephus, the historian during that time, there was a lot of crucifixion going on in the first century. But even so, if he didn't physically see somebody hanging there, he knew about crucifixion. And the Father had revealed to him it was going to be crucifixion. So he knew that. And in addition, to crucifixion, he knew about the beatings that he would have to endure, the Roman scourging, which in the Jewish law, you would get 40 lashes, and they always did 40 save one, 39, so they wouldn't go over. There was no limit in the Roman scourgings, no limit. They would just wail on you. And I read somewhere that a lot of people died from the scourgings, never made it to the crucifixion. Well, I guess we gave him too many. He's dead. Who's next? And these are vicious Roman soldiers. I mean, this is their life, to be who they were. So he knew that was coming. He knew the scripture that said, we read earlier, that his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. His appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. He knew what was just about to happen. I'm going to read you a quote from the book, Jesus Christ, Our Passover. I typed it up. It's a little easier for me to read it. And this is the quote. Jesus prayed three times for another way to accomplish his task. But these three times, God's answer was established and complete. There was no other way than the course set before Jesus. So with the greatest denial of self and the greatest act of loving obedience in human history, Jesus Christ submitted his own will to the will and purpose of God. After these moments of agony and decision, Jesus returned to find his three disciples sleeping again. So that's a quote from the book. Verse 45. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, this is after he prayed three times, sleep on now, sleep on now, take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. And then after a brief pause, because he said, all right, just sleep, get your rest. Then after a brief pause, things changed. Verse 46, rise, get up, everybody. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude. See, that says a great multitude, with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. This is a great multitude. Other gospel records indicate there were also Roman soldiers there as well. And this great armed multitude was there for one intention, to grab Jesus and get him executed. It's interesting to consider that from both the scriptures and from what God revealed to Jesus Christ, that he knew what was coming. It's very noteworthy. And next week we're going to pick up the record beginning with his arrest and briefly look at the trials, the beatings, and his death. And I'm saying we're just going to look at some of the scriptures because there's so much in the scriptures about that. There's a whole lot of detail in there. And it's in God's word. And you know something I was thinking about? God could have just said in the scriptures, one night Jesus was arrested and crucified and then raised from the dead the next day. He could have said that, right? That's what happened. But God wanted us to know the price he paid. We've got the Old Testament prophecy of what would happen, and then we read in the Gospels, and it's just God wanted us to know what Jesus Christ endured for you and for me. And I would encourage you, if you have time this week, to maybe read in the Gospels the records of the Last Supper. Some Gospels have very little. The Gospel of John has several chapters. But it might bless you to read that. And I mentioned this last week that hopefully as we look at some of these scriptures these weeks, for us, our love and appreciation for our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, would grow. Because we have such a great, wonderful Lord and Savior. And before we pray, I wanted to play a song.
One day when heaven was filled with His praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is He. The Word became flesh and the light shined among us, His glory revealed. Living He loved me, dying He saved me, and buried He carried my sins far away. Rising He judged, despised and rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is He. The hands that heal nations stretched out on a tree and took the nails for me. Cause living He loved me, dying He saved me, and buried He carried my sins far away.
Yes.
Let's pray. Father God, thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for all that we have as born-again ones because of the price Jesus Christ paid. That God, we are righteous in your eyes, justified, that all sins have been paid for. Thank you for allowing us to see a little bit about what he went through for us. And God, may we not only have great love and appreciation for his obedience and love for you, but God, may we also have great thanksgiving for all that we've been given in the new birth and the great hope that we have to look forward to when you will again send your Son from heaven to gather us together. Till then, Father, may we walk, believe you, trust you, and may we have an opportunity to reach out to others with such good news that Jesus Christ is alive and that he paid the full price. Thank you for the privilege of sharing your word this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.